name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down and sitting down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
Girder.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Girder.
Can't you say anything else?
Putting on the Ritz!
Much better. You've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. And so my friend Abby Normal. That's hard to remember. I can't. I'll just call you Jay. Jay, welcome. Welcome. You're looking a little peaked today. You're walking kind of funny too. Are you feeling all right?
I'm just practicing for the Thriller dance off we're doing later.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Down there at the community center, you're doing
it. It's a great way. It's good exercise. It gets, you know, it helps get the older folks, get their blood moving and stuff like that. I volunteer.
Good. If you stop off at Jitters and pick up a few dozen coffees for everybody, will you? Just to,
yeah. That'd be great.
Grab some big belly burger. So. Well, I am very interested to talk about this episode with you. A very different episode directed by someone we've been talking about. And an episode that is going to set up, I think, pretty much just nonstop action, I think, for the rest of the season.
Yeah, for the remaining two episodes here. But yeah, I think this is obviously the beginning of the end, whatever way that presents itself here. But
that's
right. It did feel like a different type of episode, and I think partially it was from the writing and partially it was from the directing, because we had two people that have never worked on this show before. Not that their superhero cred is anything to laugh at. They are definitely fans of the genre and of the character specifically. But it was an interesting episode, and yeah, I'm really interested to talk about the things that worked, that maybe didn't work, and whatever else we got going on.
All right, well, why don't you tell us what the episode was about first, so we can kind of refresh our memory and hear what it's all about.
Sure. So this is called The Runaway Dinosaur. I saw somebody make a typo online, and they called it The Runaway Daughter. And I'm like, what? How does that make any sense? I mean, not that The Runaway Dinosaur makes a whole lot of sense either, I guess. But episode 21 of season 2, originally aired May 10th, 2016, written by Zach Stentz, who wrote Thor for Marvel Studios, as well as a number of other films, and directed by Kevin Smith, director of Clerks, Mallrats, and writer of Daredevil for Marvel Comics and Arrow for DC Comics. Though I think we had discussed previously, I don't think he ever wrote any Flash.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I think I had checked. I don't recall that. All right, so in this episode, as shock and sadness overwhelm the whole team at Star Labs, they barely have time to let the reality of Barry's death sink in before Cisco Vibes flashes suit and discovers that he's still alive. But he's stuck in a place that they can't find. Plus, Wally and Jesse have been knocked out by the particle accelerator failed experiment. And that's about the time that Zombie Girder shows up. You know, it's what happens here. So the accident had another negative side effect when it reanimated Tony Woodward's corpse, that was, of course, stored in the morgue at Star Labs, which who knew they had a morgue, right?
Hey, you know, it was a crazy time. We had a lot going on.
So proceeds to go on a rampage, instinctively looking for Iris. and basically anything familiar that he had done previously. So they all decide it might be a good idea to use Iris as bait to lure the Metal Man back to the labs to stop him while Sisko and Wells try to discover a way to contact Barry. Turns out he's trapped in the Speed Force, which is manifesting itself into familiar faces in Barry's life, trying to convince him to get over whatever it is that's holding him back. And also, have a seat. Until he figures that out, Zoom is likely to continue his plans to crush Central City. Oh, yeah, and he's got this army of metahumans to help him out that he's, you know, brought over. Party at CCPD.
It's good to have friends.
It is good to have friends.
You know, he's like, I'll bring the pizza and beer if you guys come help me conquer Central City.
Can you imagine, though, all of them being over on Earth One, what their roaming charges look like? It's got to be horrible. So anyway,
he's got a data plan. So it's
a lot of stuff to talk about here. Obviously,
there is, I want to get to it. But you know, we have one little piece of news, kind of a follow up piece of news that we had mentioned recently here.
I think it was last week. Yeah,
was that last week? Okay, so about Supergirl, we had mentioned that Supergirl still hadn't been renewed over at CBS for season two, but you know, a lot of buzz, a lot of people really wanted to come back. Good show. But we mentioned that it may be moving to CW. Well, it looks like that might actually be confirmed.
Yeah.
That CW is going to pick up Supergirl for season two, and it will be over there as, I guess, a fourth DC Comics TV show.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 8 o'clock on CW. It is superhero appointment television.
That'll just change CW to DC at this point, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah, Zap to It is reporting at this point, as of our recording, that this is kind of a done deal. We'll see how it shakes out. That's really interesting because, of course, they shoot in Los Angeles right now, and that's what makes it convenient for Calista Flockhart. So we'll have to see if the same cast would continue if they renewed it or if there would need to be some changes to that. Maybe she wouldn't be working in National City anymore. Maybe they'd find something that looked a little more like Vancouver or, you know, wherever they end up shooting it out there. But
I'm sure you'll see some changes. I'm sure you'll see obvious differences in both the background and the effects. But I don't think that should deter you from watching a quality show, because they've got really good writing over there. Quite a few good actors and great entertaining comic book stories. So, I recommend it.
Plus this just means that we can have more crossover.
That's true.
It's easier to do crossovers with Flash now and potential Arrow and more.
If he survives, I mean, there's no guarantee he's going to survive, right? I mean, Flash might just die.
There is, I calculate, a 0.05% chance of that happening. So you are correct.
I doubt it. All right. Well, let's figure out how he at least got his speed back, because he indeed does get his speed back at the end of this week's episode. And you can't just give an important superhero their powers back right away. And you certainly can't do it in the same episode. You can't do it in 1 week. You gotta spread it out. It's gotta mean something that they lost their powers in the first place. And then when they get it back, it has to be important. It has to be special. And I feel as if they did that. And before we kind of talk about this episode, I wanted to bring up, and I'm sure you remember very vividly, the death of Superman in the comic books.
Oh yeah.
Of course, you know, back in the 90s. And, there was an issue of Superman after he had died, and my copy, I remember, came in like an all-white cover or an all-white bag or something like that, and it told the story of how Clark's, I guess, for lack of a better word, soul was able to come back to Earth, it involved his adopted father, Jonathan. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I believe it was Action 500. I believe that was the way they celebrated it, because that was the end of the either the death of the Superman arc or the reign of the Superman arc or something like that. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
you're good with those numbers. I don't remember. I just remember the story. But the reason I bring that up is because this type of story can be found in comics, you know, where it may not be all the action stuff, but instead they're going through a it reminded me a lot of an Australian walkabout, right, where you have to go and kind of find yourself. Mm-hmm. And really kind of and there's other terms and things that different cultures have do, you know, to kind of discover who they are. But that's what this reminded me of when Barry was trapped in the Speed Force. So different, much different than we're used to.
Oh, yeah. Right. It was, I mean, and it was very metaphysical. It was very philosophical, which are also things that, you know, you're not expecting with this kind of episode.
I
thought it was going to go.
Especially on an episode toward the end of the season. You know, I mean, last season it was, it just kept going up and up and up. They didn't really take these little breaks toward the end, but, mm-hmm. But let's a little bit. First of all, I got to give you some big time props for your speculation as to what the title meant.
Just pulled that out of my butt last week too, which is kind of interesting that's where they really did decide to go.
Right, and another reason why I'm glad we don't record in the same room. But you said last week that the Runaway Dinosaur was going to be a title of maybe a children's book from Barry's life, and right there, man, on the shelf, right at the beginning.
I had told my wife this last week, and I'm like, you got to recognize. She's like, shh, we're watching the episode now. I'm like, because that's what I always pull. They always start talking during the show, and I'm like, shh, got to watch the episode. And so like being all excited, and she's like, shh, watch the episode.
If it makes you feel any better, I was shouting at my house too. And I was, oh, Jay was totally right. So this dinosaur that we discover later on in the episode that Barry's mom used to read to him. So it was a favorite, of course, of Barry's. And that's especially now since that was one of their connections. And now, you know, she's gone. Mm-hmm. So it had he kind of recounted some of the story. It talked about three different dinosaurs. Well, it talked about the same dinosaur, about him wanting to be a different dinosaur, you know, a T-Rex. And the mother says, how would you hug me with your tiny little arms? And the Apatosaurus, how would you hear me if say I love you with your long neck in the treetops? And then, you know, he's a Mayasaur. So, and he's special because out of all the different dinosaurs, you have the mother who's just right for you.
Aww.
So, yeah, I tried to make some sort of correlation with those dinosaurs and people in Barry's life, but I couldn't think of anybody he knew that had really tiny arms. So I don't know.
Eddie had really small hands, but
it was Eddie. That was it. He was the T-Rex. So, but the point of this book was to make this connection with, mm-hmm. Barry and his feelings about his mother's death. I will say right off the top, you know, before we talk about it, because I did enjoy this episode, but it surprised me a little bit that they kind of brought this up, because it's not something that has really been a prevalent topic in the series over two seasons.
No, not that, you know, I mean, he obviously had to make that decision. What was it? It was the penultimate episode or the season finale last year where he had to decide not to save his mom.
Right.
So that was, and I felt that he did a pretty good job of that. And that completed that arc, which is something that he was dealing with all season long, the first season, which is who killed my mom. And he wanted to bring him to justice. And I felt he really had kind of put that to rest. But what this episode is telling us is that regardless of what he had told us and his friends and family, he really wasn't comfortable with where that was. But I would have liked to have gotten just a little bit of that, I guess, during the season here.
Yeah. I think kind of at the beginning of the season, you know, when he was feeling really guilty about Firestorm's death and about the destruction that the wormhole had caused when he opened it.
The breaches and stuff.
Yeah. And I think he even mentioned in one of the early episodes of the season that, you know, and all of that, and he didn't even save his mom, you know, and it made no difference, I guess, is what he said.
Right.
So I can, you know, I can see that. And that, I, like you said, I think touching on that every once in a while in the season, I think would have helped a little bit. So, but otherwise, that didn't bother me. I just thought it was interesting. And of course, you know what? I mean, that's completely real to me. I wouldn't have moved past it either. But I guess the Speed Force helped him to get over it himself. I don't think they did it so much, or they, or it, or mm-hmm. whatever. He had to be in there to see exactly what it was that was holding him back.
So my thought about this whole thing, so I buy the manifestation of the Speed Force as people that Barry can identify with, you know, because, you know, it's and I think I read this in an article online too. It's very much like A Christmas Carol, where, you know, he's visited by the ghosts of his past, you know, to help explain where, to help him understand where he went wrong, or where his mistakes lie and stuff like that. But part of me, when we see Cisco's view of the Speed Force that he's in, it looks like this, like a cyclone with red or yellow lightning in it, right?
Right, like an energy storm.
Right. So Barry's just in there, and so Barry is seeing it as, you know, Central City with his family and friends and stuff like that. So part of me is wondering, was he real? I mean, he obviously was trapped in this other dimension, but was he really seeing these things, or was it really, you know, just Barry's subconscious working out the problem with, you know, how to get his speed back? You know, obviously the whole metaphor of, you know, you've got to slow down, and it's, you know, the speed, the shadow that's running around is him. And you know, it's a metaphor for, you know, looking within yourself to understand your problem, because your problem is you, right? Your problem is not any of these external forces that you prescribe, the issues towards. You know, you're always the one that's blocking it. And I know we had talked about, were they going to get to this, was this going to be one of the reasons why he had lost his speed, that basically it was something inside him, and I said it was going to be kind of hokey. I didn't feel that the way they solved it here was hokey at all. I thought it was very heartfelt and
no, yeah, so. I'm with you. I think he got his speed back exactly the way Wells intended, but he had to deal with that. So I was trying to decide, how is he talking to the Speed Force? Is he really talking to the Speed Force even? I do think that he had some sort of connection to the Speed Force, but even he said that's like talking to light or gravity or something like that.
Right. Which is
not well, just kind of shrugged.
Yeah. So, and I was having this discussion with someone at work too. And he was like, yeah, so what is it? I mean, like, how is he talking to the Speed Force? Cause Barry even says it's like talking to gravity. And I'm like, well, I mean, that's why I kind of came up with my idea that, you know, maybe he's not really talking to it at all. I mean, maybe the Speed Force is acting on him as a force of nature.
Right.
And it's
right.
But it's Barry's subconscious that is making this construct of Central City and Iris and his dad and everybody.
I will go. I like all that. And I think that's kind of where I was. But I will go just one little inch over that line in saying that I do think that he's communicating with the Speed Force, like they're making some sort of connection. And
yeah,
we've seen in the comics that the Speed Force is actually a thing, not an entity so much, but
it's got sentience of some kind.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a will.
Exactly.
Well, and you know, like Oliver said in the season premiere, you know, the lightning chose Barry. I mean, we've already ascribed some sort of sentience or purpose to the lightning. So I completely agree. And you know, if you can have superheroes in this universe that use rings that work on willpower, I mean, why can't the Speed Force as a universal force, you know, have some sort of, you know, conscience of some
kind. Yeah, hey, I've been dropping hard water on my head all season and I still don't have speed. So, but I'm not losing faith. It's got to be there somewhere.
Probably need a little bit of white dwarf alloy along the way to help out or something.
You think that'll help?
Magnifying glass. I can't remember. It was something weird.
So, well, I am with you. I think it was the Speed Force itself was just kind of manifesting in his subconscious and as those images. But because it was making these points to him, whether it was the Speed Force specifically or just Barry's subconscious, it did say a lot of things that I think we need to address. Iris, for example, tells him that he was given this precious gift. What do you think was the gift specifically?
One ring, wasn't it? No. That is a great question. What was the gift? Because, of course, you're thinking, it was the gift of his speed.
That was my first thought.
But the not Iris immediately turns around and says, no, that wasn't it. Doesn't she say that? Okay.
That's what she said. So if that and she never clarifies, right? She never explains, well, if that wasn't it, what was it?
Okay.
So he's left to kind of speculate.
I got it. So the gift is not his speed, because later he asks why they gave him the powers in the first place, right? And she says because he's the Flash, which, going back to something you said last week, is I think you had said this, and this was another conversation I was having on the side. Sorry, Josh. I do talk about this with other people.
How dare you?
That the lightning, that he would become the lightning that gives himself the powers, which is something from the Rebirth comic.
Yes.
The Flash. Yeah, Flash Rebirth. So, which means that he's always been the Flash, meaning that, you know, the universe is set. Right. So he was destined to become the Flash because he's always been the Flash. Right. So what is the gift then? The gift obviously would then be the Speed Force giving him the ability to visit the time when his mom died and have that final encounter. That's what I'm thinking it was. If he was always the Flash, the Speed Force has given him the gift to travel in time at the end of the first season to visit his mom, to say goodbye, to make his peace, to apparently make his peace with that and decide not to save his mom. And not just once. He went there twice. Because he ran through once and then he saw his future self tell him no.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, he did go. Okay, you're right. So at some point, I wonder if we're going to see him actually going and telling his self no. I had kind of forgotten that he had gone there as a future self with his white emblem.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, interesting. I'm processing everything you said there and trying to make it make sense. So the gift was him going to visit his mother, or see his mother, not visit, I guess. Right. That's a horrible description. I apologize. But now you mentioned something else, because she says, because you're the Flash.
Yeah.
I don't understand what that means either. I mean, so he is the Flash. So going back to what you reminded me of that I had said last week, right, about him causing his own powers.
Right, being the lightning.
That's what it reminded me of when she said, because you're the Flash. It's almost like it's saying, you're the Speed Force. You're us. This is you. But they didn't.
Yeah, it may be. I mean, and in a show that deals with time travel, right? So he finds that he can tweak stuff in time, but it basically time wants to correct itself and be the way that it is, which to me seems like they are kind of going to a fate timeline rather than a free will timeline, a fate timeline, meaning that things are predestined. Things that happened, happened. They've always happened. They always will happen. And in any time, you know, Barry's mom always dies regardless of what happens, because it's just always what happens. So, I feel that if that's the case, then they're trying to talk about the Flash as some kind of cyclical character, that he has always been the Flash because he was the Flash to begin with, and so he was always the Flash. It's like a paradox.
Sure.
And if he creates himself, if the Flash is the lightning that leads to him becoming the Flash, then he's always been the Flash, and there is no one that never wasn't the Flash.
I understand what you're saying. Believe it or not, as bizarre and illogical as all that sounds, I mean, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That's what this episode was like for me. It was one of those really thought-provoking episodes. If you're a Star Wars Clone Wars fan, the Mortis trilogy, in that series, was a lot like this, where there's these deep questions that you're never going to find the answers to, because you have to interpret them in your own way.
Right.
And you can interpret them in many different ways. And so you're never going to find an answer, which is what makes it intriguing. If the answers were laid out right there, she said, no, you're the Speed Force. You're us. You just are running really fast and you're making it. That would be stupid. We wouldn't enjoy that. So, but still there's, these things that they mentioned, it manifested itself as Joe, Iris, Henry, and then his mom.
Yeah.
So obviously, some of the closest people in his life, not Wells, not Cisco, though, these were all people that were,
these are his family.
For all intents and purposes, it's his family, right? People that were related to him. Joe and Iris really are his family. Henry and his mom are literally his blood relatives. So
it
was his family. Interesting to me, everyone, with the exception of Henry, I'll talk about him in a second, asked him to sit.
Yeah, I noticed they said, that was very sit. Repetitive. Yeah.
Now Henry didn't, but they were in the graveyard, and so he kneeled at his mother's grave. There was really no place for him to sit. But Henry did say, "Come on," he says, "I don't have time for this." He says, "You have all the time in the universe, literally." So to me, that's kind of the same thing as relax. They're all asking him to relax, to slow down.
Which is what everybody's been – he gets these mixed messages. He gets the run, Barry, run, fight or flight kind of thing. And then he also gets the, you got to learn to slow down and everything like that. And it's really sounds like it's all about balance.
And there you go.
It's, he's just out of whack.
Right.
I don't know. It's
well,
it's,
you're
go ahead.
You've got it. That's exactly what I was kind of leading at. And I like that you said balance. I hadn't thought of that word necessarily, but when you say he's out of whack, he is always running. He's always trying to run. He wants to, get the bad guys. He wants to get them fast. When he can't get the bad guys, he wants to get faster. He couldn't catch Zoom. He tried to increase his speed, go faster, faster, faster. The solution has always been to go faster. And I'm, they're all telling him to slow down. I like that you said the balance. I think he needs to realize that, yes, he is the Flash. He does go fast. He's the fastest man alive. But sometimes that's not what you need. Sometimes you have to stop. You have to relax. You have to think. And that counteracts things that you can't catch, because they made the point to him. Was this Iris or like his mom? I can't remember, was it his mom? She said, the Flash can't outrun the tragedies of the universe.
Yeah.
Or the tragedies. They said the universe is going to keep sending them your way. Right. You
and
can't
that's when Barry
outrun
asked
them.
Whether it was his mom saying that. I think it was at that point where he's asking whether it was his mom telling him this or it's the Speed Force. And it was like, well, both, because they're counseling him about that.
Right. Interesting. When you just said that, it made me think also Harry Potter. There's a scene in the series of Harry Potter when he has the opportunity to get that sort of counsel from his parents who aren't living anymore. But so that's the reason I mentioned that, is because that may be the key to stopping Zoom. Barry has been trying to get faster and faster and faster and faster because he can't catch Zoom.
Right.
But ultimately, in the end of this episode, when he caught the blur that he was instructed that he couldn't leave until he caught, it ended up being himself. But he didn't run after it. He didn't chase after it in any way. He stood still. He relaxed and he reached out and it was there. So is that the key to stopping Zoom? Is that what he's going to have to understand?
I think that's a fabulous idea for doing that. I mean, it really is one of those things where, you know, in your own life, you know, you can be pushing against something, you know, physically, literally or figuratively. And it keeps locking itself down because, you know, it's kind of like a Chinese finger cuffs, right? The harder you pull on these things, the more they want to grab onto your fingers and just won't let go. And like you said, you've just got to slow down and stop and take a breath. And then you can just kind of just take a step back, release the pressure. It you know, gets everything moving again. And then you can continue to move forward, with it. So, I think that, I don't necessarily think it's going to be slow, you know, that he has to slow down, but I do like the fact that he's probably going to have to let Zoom come to him, right? Rather than him going to Zoom, he needs
interesting.
Have it reversed that way.
Okay. So, but I don't think he's going to have a problem with that. with Zoom coming to him, I think as soon as Zoom learns, that Barry's got his powers back, I think he'll be coming to him.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, I think that's what it's going to come down to. So I think he's really going to have to continue along this idea of, thinking slowly and more logically,
methodically, in order to, which is his scientific background too, which he's got this background in science, except emotion's been ruling a lot of his season.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And you could argue that that is, you know, because of his mom, but I think they could have addressed that just a little bit more. So this was deep stuff for me, deep, interesting stuff. And that's why I don't mind that. I'm not sure how many times I want him to go back to the mom idea. just because I don't want him to overdo it. And that's such a powerful idea, you know, with his connection to his mom, that I don't want them to keep going back there and making it not as important.
I would hope that with this, I mean, it seems like he's come to that realization, right? That is the speed
that he needs to move on.
Right. That he can move on from this. And, you know, he wasn't really talking to his mom this time. So it's kind of a cheat in the fact that he gets that counsel, but without really talking to his mom. But, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe the Speed Force is part of, you know, the afterlife, you know, too. So there's all sorts of reasons because, you know, like I said, she said that he was talking to his mom and the Speed Force at the same time.
Yeah. And I think in the comics, they do kind of describe it as that at some point. It being like the afterlife for speedsters or something.
Okay.
I think I may be remembering a little bit differently, but, going back to like the Rebirth comic, I think you can see stuff like that. Okay. So he was in the Speed Force, man. He got a lot of, churching going on there in the Speed Force from everybody. Any particular one of the four that you thought was the most poignant, I suppose, his mother.
Yeah. I was very surprised. I wasn't tearing up at the Henry portion, but because they weren't in a prison, I felt that was probably why. But this stuff with his mom. I mean, it's like, how can you, even if you've got problems with the rest of the stuff that may have happened in the episode here, that was just heart and soul for that episode. And I thought it was just so beautifully done and shot and acted. It was really beautiful.
A quick little observation on my part. Sometimes when they do things like this, obviously none of the four of them were his actual parents, family, you know, that he knew. It was the Speed Force. He recognized that very quickly and didn't ever really have an issue with that. It's like he didn't ever confuse them for the real thing. You know what I'm saying? And I you know, I've seen movies where they do that. The character confuses them for the real thing and gets very confused and befuddled. And he was he thought the way Barry really would think, because Barry's a highly intelligent person. You know, I mean, he's a scientist. He works for the police. He's very intelligent. So I'm glad that they didn't make him freak out, you know,
sure.
when he saw any of these people, because you could have done that, especially when he saw his mom.
Right.
He never talked to them like he was actually with his family.
I'm going to say that I will argue that in the fact that I think that he started that way with his mom because I felt it was a little, he was a little harsh. So he's in his childhood home and he sees this construct that is, you know, looks just like his mom, acts
yes.
just like his mom. And the first words out of his mouth are, "You're not my mom," because he recognizes that it's just another thing that is being put in his way. And would you stop it? I have to leave. And you can see that, I mean, just the way that, they had the actress playing Nora react. I mean, she seems so hurt. I mean, would you, I mean, if you really want to hurt your mom, you go in and tell her you're not my mom and see what kind of reaction you get. That's got to be the worst thing to say to any mother. And by the end of that sequence where they're reading the book, you know, I think they both say, "I love you" at the same time. You know, I mean, like, why would he be telling the Speed Force that he loves it? I think he had gotten, by the time they were reading the book, he had gotten so wrapped up in that.
You think so?
He forgot. And maybe that was the point, that he has to let go, to move on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That works too.
I felt that he had connected as this was his mom. And so that was, he was
all right.
Getting that revisit there.
I guess, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. So, and you know, if this all was just in his subconscious, then maybe he started realizing that as well. It's like, well, look, this is an opportunity to, even if it isn't my mom, this is an opportunity to, you know, to make this connection and find peace with myself. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, you know, there was other stuff going on in this episode as well, besides in the Speed Force.
What? Oh my gosh. Was there?
Yeah. Yeah. Believe it or not.
I was so busy running around looking for stuff.
Well, first, of course, you know, they call, Wells calls for Jesse for, help, or, you know, he needs her and can't get a hold of him. They go and they discover them. Wally and Jesse are unconscious. Wally wakes up super quick.
Yeah. Cause he's so fast.
Because well, yeah, you
need
know,
for speed. I
mean,
yeah,
he's gotta go. He's gotta always run. But Jessie, her heart had stopped for whatever reason. Don't know if she got more of the blast or hit harder. But interesting,
vibrational differences between Earth 2 and Earth 1. That's what.
Oh, that might actually maybe. Yeah, that may actually come into effect if anything ends up happening here, but
yeah.
They really utilized Henry as a stand-in character for Caitlin in this, not in a bad way, I mean, but they needed a doctor. He was there. I loved John Wesley Shipp's reaction, just the shock that he showed in losing Barry, I thought was wonderful. And then, of course, you know, his doctor instincts took over, and he did what he could to help Jesse, but
I have a quick point of order I want to get in here, and it is the fact that Wells hops on the horn and is like, "Jesse, come down here." They locked Jesse and Wally in the time vault last week. How did he know that they were able to, like, they shouldn't have been able to come out?
See, that occurred to me for a half a second, and then I'm like, well, wait, when he called them, he opened the door. I mean, they had remote access to all of that stuff.
Okay.
You know, that was my feeling, that he would have just called them through the little speaker there, opened the door for him, but they never answered. So
I'm also going to call out something else I can't unsee here, just because like these, I see weird little ticks and stuff. When they're laying on the ground, the camera is circling around the two down people, and, Wells is over Jesse and Joe is over Wally. And Wells puts his hands, kind of interlaces his fingers, puts his hands on Jesse's chest like he's starting to do
chest compressions,
chest compressions,
CPR.
But he's really, his hand is floating about an inch above her chest because he doesn't really want to touch her. And his hand is just kind of undulating like he's doing the wave.
And I noticed that too.
It is like, it is actor compressions because I think he might have thought they were framed a little higher, so he didn't really have to do something with his hands.
I'm like, well, no wonder he can't get her heart started.
Yeah, yeah.
I did notice that. So, and well, since okay, that was a little faux pas there in the acting field.
Yeah, I saw a couple of those in here. Another one was Joe with his coffee mug, where he goes to take a drink and is like fumbling with the mug, and obviously there's nothing there.
Okay, I noticed that too. Yeah. All right, Mr. Smith, you should have caught those two little things. I will give Tom Cavanaugh some props to make up for that little scene, because when he realized his experiment didn't work and Barry was gone, the anguish I think that he displayed in that I thought was really good. So
Tom Cavanaugh was doing so much stuff in the background. There was the whole sequence at the end where Barry comes back. Sisko's trying to explain everything to him. It's like, quickly, he's recapping the episode, you know, girders out and blah, 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 and we got to do this. And Wells is just next to him making faces and trying to get the words in, but Sisko's going so fast and they kind of turn and look at each other and just keep making faces. Tom doesn't have any dialogue there, but he's just, he's stealing the scene from,
that was good.
From Sisko. So
very good. Yeah. So, so we'll kind of fast forward through Jesse here again. They end up, of course, starting her heart, getting her on the bed, but she's not waking up. She doesn't wake up until the end when Barry comes in, feels like he needs to be there.
Yeah.
And touches her hand or reaches for her hand, gives her a little static shock because obviously, you know, they don't have bounce static softener fabric softeners, you know, in the Speed Force.
Static Shock is an entirely different DC superhero, however.
That is, yes, it is. Wasn't a bad show. I like that show. but shocked her a little bit, and she wakes up. They just kind of called that out. I mean, we got Jesse quick in some capacity, right?
I think so. And a question that was raised to me was, did he know? Does Barry see the future now? Because he said, you know, somebody said, how did you know to do that? And he's like, I don't know. I just kind of knew it was the right thing to do. Again, if he is part of the Speed Force, and the Speed Force was there at the beginning of the Big Bang and will be there when the Earth or the universe is snuffed out, it knows everything. It exists in all time, all place. And if he taps into that, he has that ability. So why wouldn't he be able to know anything, to be anywhere, to go anywhere?
Right. That's true. Although he just doesn't seem aware of it.
Right.
You know, he may know it. It may be in there, but he not.
I think right now, I mean, because obviously Barry has not trained in this, right? I think it's probably manifesting itself as sort of a speedster instinct. I don't know how to phase through a wall, but I can do it. I just kind of innately know what I need to do this.
That's
my thought about that.
So. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way. I like that. Well, one of the other storyline in this, which I'll say probably was the weaker part of the storyline, but it worked okay, and it did what it needed to do. Was the reappearance of Girder, zombie Girder,
right?
So Tony, what was his name? Tony Woodward, is
Tony
that right?
Woodward, yep.
Tony Woodward, the old high school bully that used to pick on Barry and liked Iris, and they ended up actually killing. As Sisko said, it was a crazy time. They had a lot going on. he's back, reanimated in their morgue, which we discovered. Which, you know, Star Labs is a big place. I'm sure they haven't shown all of it. The coffee shop that is no longer functioning. That's why Jitters does so well now. You know, there's all kinds of things in there. But so he came back and was a zombie, reanimated corpse. So it wasn't like somebody they could reason with.
Right. And he was going through everything he had done in the previous episode. He was attracted to the yellow Humvee, which looked very much like the Humvee that he drove. May have actually been the same prop. And then he went to Jitters, which is where he appeared second in that episode. And then he went to he was going to Star Lab, or no, he was going to Iris's home, but they diverted him and took him back to Star Labs. And if they had let him keep going, he would have shown up at the high school, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so. right? One thing I wanted to kind of bring him up, number one, I take the zombie performance for what you will. Like I said, it served its purpose. Definitely wasn't the most interesting part of the episode for me, but it got some characters where they needed to be and do things they needed to do. And
it was, of course, it allowed Iris and Sisko to be funny. I thought there was some funny bit. I mean, Sisko's always kind of funny, but I felt that Candace Patton was a little more relaxed in this episode. Kevin Smith really brought a lot of energy and levity to the set because he was such a fan of the show. And I really see that reflected in Candace Patton's performance. Her character was making more jokes, like when Sisko says, "Get behind me." And she's like, "No, you get behind me." It just, the way she delivered some of those lines was just, there was a little
more. I bought you that mug.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was good. Agreed. At first I started, it bothered me a little bit because I thought, wait a minute, you know, Barry just died. Why was she? But then I realized, wait a minute, they know he's not dead.
Yeah.
They're trying to get him. So she's taking control and she's keeping herself under control. Better than even Henry was, right? Which I can totally understand, you know, as a father. One of the reasons I wanted to bring up Girder was because of something that Wells said when they let him know that this corpse was coming back. He said a quote here. "History repeats itself, first as tragedy, then as farce." I didn't do that very well. "History repeats itself, first as tragedy, then as farce." Anyway.
Wow, that was really good.
Was it really good? Oh, I didn't think it was very good. Anyway, that's a quote from the Karl Marx book, "The 18th Brumaire of Louis Napoleon," which I've never read. I looked that up, so I don't want to take any credit for actually knowing that.
Wow.
But it did sound like a familiar quote, so I kind of looked it up to see if it had some deeper meaning.
Uh-huh.
Because I was kind of surprised they would use a well-known deep quote like that for Girder. Basically what it means is, you know, something that happened is repeating itself in history, you know, it's doing it again. But this time it's ridiculous. So, Karl Marx was referring to Napoleon and then his nephew, Louis Napoleon, Napoleon III. That's what Karl Marx was talking about. So of course, you know, the obvious would be Tony or Girder, coming back from the dead and doing the same things he was doing before. But do you think there were any other meanings behind that quote? It wasn't an important part of the show so much, but.
No, you know, I hadn't even really put that together. But I guess one of the other things that we saw was, Jesse going into a coma. They talked about, you know, that was just like when it happened to Barry, and can we get, the notes about it? And that, you know, actually that kind of led into the whole Tony Girder thing.
Right.
So,
And then the other thing I thought of was, you know, Barry is seeing his mom again toward the end of the season, seeing her in a different way and, possibly not really his mom even. But that was kind of history repeating itself again, but none of those were really farce.
Right.
So
I was going to say that was definitely not farcical. I mean, cause a farce is really a comedy, taken to extremes, using metaphor to represent other things, I guess, as well.
And that was, like I said, it was just a big quote for what seemed like a little moment, but I think that's actually just what it was. But I love finding those little things in there and kind of looking deeper into it.
Yeah, good job on that quote. I mean, I thought it was just an interesting thing that he had to say, but I didn't even think that it might be a quote from something, let alone Karl Marx.
Yeah, one of the Marx brothers. They were good writers. But all right, so now Barry's got his speed back. I did like the presentation of him in the suit as he gets it back right after he catches himself, kind of that comic book cover feel. Mm-hmm. You know, he's standing there with his arms slightly back and his chin up a little bit.
He's posed.
He is posed. Yeah. I mean, he's showing it off. I mean, so I'm thinking, is he faster now? I mean, he's even faster than he was. Does he have any extra powers that he didn't have before? He's coming back from the Speed Force, man.
I totally think he's supercharged. I, again, kind of with my thought about how the Speed Force works, He's as fast as he can conceive he needs to be. Like, I feel there's no bounds on this. And you know, it's like, I can't even remember what film or story I might even be thinking of, but it's like, you know, someone is, maybe it's like Tron or something like that. Maybe you can help me on this, but like someone goes into somewhere and, you know, they're like, oh, you know, I can only do this. And it's like, no, you're really only limited by what you can imagine. That's what I guess like the Matrix really in that case, but you know what I'm saying? It's like
dreamscape.
Yeah. We're going to see the world how we need to see the world. Like, we can't fathom it in any other way. So even in places that, you know, don't exist, we're going to ascribe gravity and all these other things to it. But really, the only boundaries are in our mind, and we can, you know, make it, you know, whatever.
Right. Well, I'm with you. And that is what the Flash is. I mean, he is speed itself almost. So, well, a couple little notes here before we wrap it up. Henry claims he's back for good.
Yay.
And, yeah, I'm not going to cheer at that.
You know what? It's fine. No, he's back for good for at least two more episodes.
We talked about this last week. It still worries me. Now it worries me even more because he emphasized it again this week. So yeah. I really am enjoying John Wesley's ship, though. I would like to see that interaction with Barry and his real dad. And I think that the relationship between him and Joe could be really important, too. So I hope they utilize that. I certainly would love to see it.
At the end of next week, Joe or Henry will be on the ground. Barry will be up on top of a building, and Henry will just be, Barry, I just wanted to let you know I'm here to stay. And then you cut to Zoom turning his head.
No. Just stop Zoom. Then he can move back. Just go back up to your cabin. Okay. All right. Well, the metas are here. So Barry's got a big army. Zoom, not Barry, but Zoom's got a big army. Can Barry stop him? I mean, of course he can. I mean, the show would be silly if he couldn't.
Well, did you see all these goofballs? I mean, I'll post a couple of screenshots. Some of these characters just look completely ridiculous.
I mean, I saw Goofball. He was there. He was on the right side of the screen.
There's one that looks like a 1940s, you know, evil gangster or something like that. I'm not.
That's nut job, I think. Hey, you know, you got an army of metas. You just get as many as you can. You don't necessarily go for top quality. You want quantity.
I guess. And Cisco is going to be just sitting there, and he's going to be like, oddball, nut job. Oh, I can't keep up with all of them.
Well, my main question about that, not so much about what the army is going to do or how he's going to stop down. I'm sure he'll figure that out. But what's Caitlin going to do? You think she's going to stay? They did not show what she decided to do. She's going to stay with Zoom.
Caitlin's
she's going
choice.
To go back. Yes, Caitlin's choice.
I mean, if she stays with him, I think she has a better chance to help defeat him, you know, but I mean, he's just, what a jerk. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know what.
Okay. Well, here, Caitlin, here's the thing. Listen, if Zoom wins, you're going to die. So go back, help your friends and help defeat Zoom. Now she doesn't know anything about Barry. She didn't know about the experiment. I mean, she knows he lost the speed, but she didn't know about the experiment. So, but you know, hey, you might as well take a chance, go back and help try to defeat him. Just go with your friends. But,
yeah, that's true. She doesn't know.
Goodness. No. All right. Well, a couple other things, you know, I just wanted to send out a little warning to the ladies, that Wally, apparently learned about puberty from the internet. So, just be real careful, with it, if you're going to be going out on a date with the old Wally. And it looks like he is not a speedster yet.
He is not a speedster, obviously, but he may know who the Flash is now. Did Iris out Barry at the beginning of the episode to him as the Flash? We didn't know Barry. He didn't know that Barry was the Flash as of last episode, did he?
No, he did not. And I don't think she specifically did. I mean, I don't think she said it obvious. She just said, you know, he asked what was wrong with.
Like,
who was
what
he asking
was
about?
Wrong? Yeah, it was like
Henry
Barry
or
missing.
Something. Yeah. But Barry's gone. Barry's gone. What do you mean? Let's just go. Come on, let's go.
Go to your
room. she didn't tell him, but I think he's going to be able to put it together at this point. So
It was a question that I saw somebody else tweeted us. It was the same question I had. So
yeah. I think he'll figure it out. I mean, he has to figure it out eventually anyway. Yeah. So he's going to be a big fan and eventually he'll be Kid Flash. So,
well, the last thing I wanted to just let you know is that they were working really hard. I know that the plans that they prepared, they had prepared plans A through G, which did not work. So unfortunately they had to stick with preparation H, plan H. So,
I think that's pretty good on the whole, you know. Just, you know, you got to plan for everything. So, I do like how Wells and Sisko presented that together. Plan H. All right. Well, you know what? We got quite a bit of feedback this week, but I wanted to just share a couple short little emails that we got from some of the listeners. And thank you again, you guys, for watching this show along with us and letting us know what you're feeling and what you are thinking about is going to happen on the show, because that's what makes this fun to talk about.
So
while you're – hey, don't worry. I don't look at Twitter or Facebook before I watch the episode, even though you get to see it 2 hours before me. I don't look at any of those. So you guys, if you want to, you know, tweet during the show or after you've watched it, to just to kind of share your immediate thoughts. I love hearing what people thought about it. So I'll check them out. Don't worry.
Yep. And I'll probably see it live. So,
yeah. So we got an email from Josh this week, not to be confused with me. We get a lot of J's and Josh's involved in this show these days, but says, "Hey guys, hey, first I want to say how much I love the show that you guys do. I can't get enough. Oh, thank you. Brings me even deeper into the show because I can't wait for the podcast to be released so I can hear it from the thoughts of you guys." That's nice of you to say, Josh. I appreciate that. Anyway, so he said, "The Runaway Dinosaur was a much needed episode. It allowed Barry to put the proverbial final nail in Nora's coffin, and I think it'll allow Barry to finally start unleashing some more Speed Force moves." So apparently he thinks that Barry's going to have some new abilities as well. I would agree with that. "Because if he doesn't always have his mom's death lurking around the back of his head all the time, it's allow him to free up the energy and learn more moves and become the greatest, faster speedster of them all."
Yeah.
"Lastly," yep, definitely. "Not that I'm ready for Wally and Jesse to be speedsters, but when it happens, because it's coming, do you think Barry will become the mentor to them as Thawne Wells and Jay Hunter / Zoom was to him?" Obviously not in the evil, maniacal, backstabbing fashion that his mentors did to him. Well, let's hope not. "Let me know what you guys think. Once again, love the show, and may the Speed Force be with you."
Oh, I like that. That's good.
That's right. I think the Speed Force awoken this week.
Ah, there we go. Very good. Yeah, I think that there is a spot for Barry to be a mentor, but you know, let's hope he doesn't Luke Skywalker it and you know, turn out a Kylo West or something like that.
Kylo West, Wally Ren. I think he will become a mentor, but I think it's going to be more, obviously not the evil maniacal one, like you said. I think there'll be some friction, you know, some tension between them and a lot of disagreements, different generational things and different competitive things. So I think that has a lot of potential to go. So,
so you're saying Wally West will not be called Kid Flash, will be called Friction.
Hey, might.
Not bad.
There's a few other. Yeah. That's not a bad little name, is it? All right. One more little note. We got tons of nice little references in this episode, but I wanted to read a quick note from Henry. Henry sent us an email too. Said, "Hey guys, I'm a longtime listener and a first time writer. Love the podcast and the show, but what I feel like the writers are moving toward is a very Matrix 2 finale, with the writers just adding more villains for the finale." That would be the army, right? Are they going that route? Obviously it's hard for me to tell at this point, but I wanted to hear your guys' thoughts. What do you think?
I'm doing my best to try to recall the actual ending of The Matrix 2, because I really...
Maybe when old Neo... Did you? When old Neo was fighting all the Smiths, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, right. That was right. Yeah, the big burly brawl.
Could be.
I don't know. I think they're trying to make it look like that, you know, Barry's going to be overwhelmed. Like, how could he possibly defeat Zoom plus an army of like whatever 50 other metas? But that's the point. Nobody knows what Barry's just gone through, and you know, Barry is, you know, he has mastered his kung fu now and will be able to quickly deal with all these people and be able to just to bring the fight to Zoom. Or maybe the rest of the team will be able to help out. So
the student has become the master.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons they did it was because they're going for kind of an epic threat, a bigger threat rather than just Zoom by himself. I think they need the city in danger, much like it was with the breach, you know, the large breach at the end of last season.
Singularity. Yeah.
The singularity. Right. I think that's kind of what it is. I think these metas are going to be going to town all over town. So they're going to have to find kind of a big way to stop him. That is also, as you said, it's going to get the team involved. So yeah. Cisco's going to have to do some stuff. I'm sure Wells and Jesse will be doing some, you know, science-y kind of stuff. So,
right. And that's what move. I think. It is a bigger move for the end of for the season. I mean, if it wasn't the end of the season, obviously they wouldn't do this. They've been kind of teasing this, you know, they bring in through one at a time, but you know, obviously Zoom is like, he's in it to win it now.
Yeah, he's been collecting, you know, collect them all and win. He just he goes to McDonald's, gets a meta, scratches them off, and goes, "Ooh, yeah, I got another one." All right, well, quite a few fun references in this one. So why don't we just take these one at a time, you and I, and share what we saw in this.
Okay, you want to do the first one here?
Sure. Well, if you notice, the runaway dinosaur sitting on there was the author was, I didn't catch the first name, but the last name was Helbing. And Aaron and Todd Helbing are the executive producers of The Flash.
Mm-hmm. And occasional writers.
And occasional writer, too, yes.
Yeah, that was cool. We had a little reference, obviously, to The Walking Dead, the TV show, with Zombie Girder walking around. So,
yeah.
A little shout out.
And I'm sure nobody missed at least the first cameo of Kevin Smith's good friend Jason Mewes. From Jay and Silent Bob fame and every other movie that Kevin Smith has made. He was, of course, the man outside Big Belly Burger whose Hummer got trashed by
a girl's car.
So that was Muse. But he actually did have another cameo. He was one of the metas that Zoom was talking to at the end.
Yeah.
But he was completely covered up, so you couldn't tell.
Yeah, I believe in there's a wide shot and two close-ups, and I believe in the first close-up, there's a guy in the top left who's wearing like all black with a black mask and like a gun, has a gun or something like that. And I believe that's Jason.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
There was a picture that Kevin Smith had posted on Twitter or Instagram, and I think that was the costume he was wearing. So
I did read also that Kevin Smith was considering cutting that scene outside Big Belly Burger just to make sure that it felt like a Flash episode. He didn't want it to stand out, but I thought it was fun. It was cute.
I thought it was fun. I didn't recognize that it was Jason until he started to talk. I just saw this guy come out because, like, I did
right.
His ponytail's all back and everything like that. So I was like, oh wow, it's like, what's this? Oh, and then I realized Nora Allen's grave was very similar to Flash Rebirth, the way that it was designed for that comic.
Yeah, and they talked about her in that one too. Young Frankenstein. Cisco described Girder to Barry when Barry came back. So,
yeah,
again, Young Frankenstein, good movie.
And then Nora tells Barry, run this time, but with much more heart and emotion.
Yeah, I guess I should take the exclamation point off that in the notes. was more of a maybe an ellipse, even not even a period. But
yeah,
okay. Now, Cisco, speaking of Young Frankenstein. Said Abby Normal. Did he just call Girder Abby Normal? I think that's what it was. But yeah. Abby Normal is a line from Young Frankenstein too. So, and right after that, he says Akata.
Yeah.
Well, I missed that. I don't know if is that from something or was he just really
Googling
being
that.
Dramatic.
I was Googling that. I have no idea what that is. If anybody knows that reference and can help us out, let us know on Twitter or Facebook or send us an email. But
yeah, cool. I couldn't place it. And maybe it wasn't anything, but it just stood out to me. So
yeah. And then the actor that played Tony also played a zombie on iZombie, also on the CW. And he's been on that for several episodes. Yeah. So that was kind of funny. So he's had experience. Hey, we need a guy to play a zombie. I have zombie experience.
He was in Vancouver at the time, walking around stiff-legged.
He was in Vancouver. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, a deep episode. If you guys have other thoughts about this one in particular, how you felt about it, whether you liked it or not, let us know. We would love to hear from you. But man, for this week, I gotta take a breather, man. We've got to run.
Well, if you guys enjoyed the episode, please be sure to leave us some feedback on iTunes. As I mentioned, you can also email us at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. Tweet at us at Scarlet Velocity. Like Josh said, please feel free to tweet during the episode when you're seeing it. That'd be great. We'd love to see that. And also visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
Yeah, and also you can check out the other shows that we do, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. All of those are winding down right now, so there's going to be big epic finales for those as well. You can find those at randomchatter.com and, of course, iTunes. And through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love for you to share it with your friends and tell them all about it so they can join in on the fun discussions too. So let them know. Go to your comic book shop, talk to your friends, wherever it is you talk about The Flash, let them know about Scarlet Velocity. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop around and look once in a while, you could miss it.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.